This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Abby Wendell.
Let's talk about graphic images that sometimes accompany news stories. A couple of recent examples would be the photo of the body of 3-year-old Aylan Kurdi. His body washed ashore on a Turkish beach after his family tried to escape the violence in Syria. Also, a few weeks ago, there was video of journalist Allison Parker and Adam Ward being shot to death live on the air in Virginia. Is there a reason to show such images, or should media outlets refrain from using them? What do you think, Lisa?
Well, let's talk about the first photo, the photo of the 3-year-old Syrian boy who washed up on the beach. And I think I agree with Brooke Gladstone, who talked about this on the Media NPR program a week or two ago, and said that it should be shown just because it's finally making people care about the refugee crisis, and that the power from that picture really comes from the fact that there's just one child. It's not like it's the first photograph of children who have suffered from this crisis. So, and it's not graphic, it's not violent, it's not bloody. It's just very, very sad. And it is, granted, a body. So in that case, I think, yes, it should have been shown. Now, as for the video, there's, as we were talking before, in the video of the shooting, the on-the-air shooting, there were two. There was one by the shooter himself that was very close and very graphic. I haven't seen it. And then the one by the cameraman who's accidentally caught it when he was shot. And so the question is, which video do you use, and
how do you use them?
Mm-hmm.
As there would be part of the debate, too. Do you even use them? Do you show that video? If you're working at a newspaper, do you post that video to your website? Or if you're a TV station, do you show that video?
I mean, it's when it comes to Elon's photo, it's often pointed to, like, this finally gets people's attention about a crisis that's been, you know, mounting for years. My question there is, like, why is it that one photo that captures the imagination of the American public? If you do have, you know, a media that is global and that is constantly talking about these issues, why is it that one photo that all of a sudden people start paying attention to?
That's a good question, because I was certainly aware of what was going on, but really did not pay much attention to it. And after seeing that photo of Aylan Kurdi, I've paid much more attention and feel much more aware of what is going on.
And I think the news organizations start paying more attention to the issue too, right? Like, when you have a response like that, the media kind of takes notice and points its cameras in that direction to capture more information about what's going on, because the public is asking for it now. But inevitably, this crisis is going to continue, and something else will capture our attention, and we will turn our cameras to something else.
I think Aylan Kurdi catches people's attention because it's a 3-year-old boy. It's an innocent. I think you could say he was an innocent who was caught up in something and lost his life as a result of it. And Lisa's point that it was just a single body, rather than seeing a lot of images or a pile of bodies,
right,
as horrible as that would be, it gets lost, whereas this is something I think we can really focus on and see.
I mean, there is something, you know, there often is so much violence and so much suffering and so much tragedy happening at any one moment in the world. It's really impossible for human beings, I think, to be able to grasp a hold of any of that. And we need story. We need something. We need, like, narrative to kind of cling to. And the only way that you can really get that is through, you know, the particular details of one person or one family and what the specifics are of their suffering. So
I would agree with that. And I was just going to mention that when Brooke Gladstone was discussing the photo on the media, she cited research about how a photo or a story about one person affects people more powerfully than a few people or, you know, a group of people. It just moves us So I think it's that story element that you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's true of any kind of news. In fact, mm-hmm. you know, it's really hard to make numbers matter or big, you know, trends or anything like that unless you can tack that on to somebody who's really experiencing what it is that you're talking about. That's kind of the way that we understand the world around us.
So it sounds like we generally agree that the use of that photo was probably appropriate for news organizations. It was appropriate to use that photo. What about the video of the journalist being shot in Virginia? Is that something we can just describe, or is that something the audience needs to see also to really understand, fully grasp what happened?
I'm not a broadcast person, so I was watching a discussion on the Poynter Institute School for Journalists between between two of their faculty members about this, because they were getting calls about from TV stations, do we use this video? And they basically, their contention was the cameraman's video that was accidentally caught was fair game because, you know, he didn't intend to record that. But as for the cameraman's video, when it was the shooter's video that he was wearing a camera when he was committing the shooting, and it was quite in close range. That was different because his intention was to use this to scare people, and to if you decide to use that to consider alternatives, like maybe just describing how close he was to the journalist or how long he waited to shoot. You know, think of alternatives rather than showing the actual video or use still frames or something like that.
And why would it be appropriate to use a video of the cameraman, from the cameraman? Why do you suppose?
Well, I don't know the details very well of like the disgruntled former television station worker who committed this shooting. But I think in, you know, not to compare acts of like gun violence in the United States to the Syrian refugee crisis, but it does seem to be, it's a bigger issue in the United States than just an isolated event. I mean, this happens all the time in this country. And I don't know if there is mental illness there or if there was, you know, a sufficient background check or whatever in order to be able to get the weapon. But these are issues that we definitely deal with in our country. And I think if this one instance in some way plays to that larger narrative, then I think that there is a reason to show it and to have that conversation yet again.
That people should see the consequence of this issue, whatever right. you consider that issue to be.
Yeah.
I think I would be in favor of editing it or using an excerpt or doing something to prepare the audience. As an audience member, I wouldn't want that inflicted on my brain. I wouldn't want that really scary image in my brain. I would want to be prepared for it.
All right. Hey, I need to wrap up this conversation for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.